I'm deeply grateful to the officers of Yad Eliezer for having invited me to come to speak to all of you. It's a special schus to be able to speak to people in the month of Elul as we all try to prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva and the very special days that are about to come to all of us. I would like to begin by talking about a minig that all of us know, but perhaps very few of us understand. Why is it that when a baby is born, a little boy is born, we wait, we don't give him a name right away, we wait to give him his name by a bris? Where does that minig come from? A little baby is born, why don't you give him a name right away? And many mefarshim talk about this, and this is mentioned in the Sefer on Bris Mila called Zichrein Bris L'Rishayim. And he says it's actually based on the fact of a pasuk which is written in the Parshas of Mila, Bereshis Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey. It tells us that when the Eibishter said to Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu was going to have a bris, Hashem changed his name. Hashem said to him, V'lo yikorei oid es shimcha Avram. Your name will no longer be Avram, v'hoya shimcha Avraham. The Eibishter added the letter Hey to Avraham. He gave him a new name, and therefore, because Avram Avinu, who was the first one to have a bris, and he had a new name at the bris, that's why we don't name our boys until they have a bris. But what's also interesting is just a few psukim later, it tells us that when Avram Avinu had a bris, not only was his name changed, but his wife's name was changed. And the pasuk tells us in pasuk tesvav, Vayomer Elokim al Avram, the Eibishter said to Avram, Sarai Ishtecha, your wife Sarai, lo yisikra shema Sarai, she's not going to be called Sarai anymore, ki Sarah shema, she's going to be called Sarah. And it's interesting, when Hashem changed Avram's name, he gave him the letter Hey, from Avram to Avraham. And when Hashem changed Sarai's name, he also added the letter Hey. Why dafka the letter Hey? If for whatever reason Hashem wanted to change Avram and Sarah's name, why dafka the same letter and why dafka that letter? And it occurred to me, a pshat, perhaps the answer is as follows. The Gemara tells us in Menachos Choftes Amid Beis, there's a pasuk in Bereishis, Eile toldos ha-shamayim va'aretz, this is the history of the heaven and the earth, behi baram, when he created them. So the Gemara says, Al tikri behi baram, don't say when he created them, Ela behei baram. The Eibishter created the world with a hey. What does that mean? That Hashem created the world like a hay or with a hay. And the Medrash tells us in Bereshis Yud Beis Yud that every letter that we have to pronounce of the Yiddish alphabet, the Marshom Brochas Vov Amid Beis explains it, that there are five parts to the mouth. There's the mouth itself, the lips, the tongue, the teeth, the palate, the throat. Every letter, you need a different part of your mouth. For example, if you want to say the word mem, you have to have lips. You can't say a mem without lips. And if you want to say a zion, you have to have teeth. If you don't have any teeth, it's very difficult to say the letter zion. And if you want to say the word, the letter tough, you have to use the tongue. But hey, you don't have to use any letters. You just breathe out, hey. No parts of the mouth. It's so easy to say the word, the letter hey. And that's what it means. The Eibishter created the world just like it's easy to say the letter hey. Loi ba'omol, v'loi b'yegia, not with any work. It was simple for Hashem to create the world just like you say and breathe out the letter hey. But there's another pshat in the Gemara and Menachos, and that's the reason I began this whole night with this letter Hey. Because the Gemara tells us Hashem created the world like the letter Hey. You know why? Because we are, let's imagine the letter Hey in our minds. There's a bottomless floor on the bottom. Everybody, so to speak, is created and lives within the confines of the hay. And what if somebody does an Aveira? He falls right down, deep, all the way down. There's no end. But on the side of the hay, there's a little door that's open. That door is open for tshuva. That's what it means that the Eibishter created the world with the letter hey. Because a person, no matter what matzav he is in this world, he can always come back through that little door and do tshuva. And in my opinion, that's why Hashem gave Avram the letter hey, and he gave Sarai the letter hey. Because now that they became officially the father and mother of Klal Yisrael, they had a new role to play. The Gemara says that Avram Avinu is the father of all Balei Tshuva. We know Avram was Makarev and Megayer the men, and Sarah was Megayer and Makarev the women. How? Through Tshuva. And when was this symbolized? This was symbolized when they got the letter Hey. Because the letter Hey symbolizes the fact that anyone can change. We can all change. We're all in the world that was created with the letter Hey. And if that's the case, now we have a tremendous opportunity to understand something that says in Shulchan Aruch. And until I thought of this, one would have thought that it's Stam Echveis, Achzidish Apshat, that the Tur Shulchan Aruch is telling us. Listen to what the Torah tells us about the fifth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. The fifth bracha, which happens to be, hey, is Begamatria 5, we all know. The fifth bracha is the bracha of tshuva. Hashiveinu avinu l'seira secha. We ask Hashem, bring us back to your Torah. And then at the end, we say, v'hachzireinu b'shuva shleima lefanecha. And the Torah writes in Simen Kuf Tes Vav, that bracha Hashiveinu begins with a hey, and it ends with a hey. Haroitza b'shuva. So the Torah says, you know why it begins and ends with a hey? Because hey and hey is equal 10, that equals the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That's the time when everybody gets serious to do tshuva. But now we have a deeper understanding. It's not just the fact that hey and hey equals 10, and it's the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The reason that the fifth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei begins with a hey and ends with a hey, because the letter hey represents change. It represents that we can all come back. It represents that there's a little door there that we can all come back to tshuva. That's why the bracha of tshuva begins with a hey and ends with a hey. Because if we want to, we can really change. And tonight, what I would like to talk about are reasons how we can come to change, why we should change, and how we can change. During the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a king who is really one of the unsung heroes in Klal Yisrael. His name was Yeshiyahu. As a matter of fact, in Malachim Beis, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasek Chav Hei, there is such an amazing Pasek about this king. Listen to the Pasek, and you'll see it's remarkable that such a thing should be written about any Yid. V'kamayu lo'ihaya lefon of melech. There was never such a king as Yeshiyahu. Asher shov al Hashem. He returned to Hashem. Listen to this expression. B'chol levovoi, u'b'chol nafshoi, u'b'chol miyodoi. Of course, that's based on Shema. V'yahavtei Hashem alekecha b'chol levovcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol miyodecha. And here in Tanakh it says that this person returned to Hashem b'chol levovoi, b'chol nafshoi, u'b'chol miyodoi. And then afterwards it says v'acharav lo'ikom komayu. There was never a king like Yeshiyahu who brought back people to tshuva. And most of us are not even really familiar with him, but yet in Tanakh it mentions what a tremendous person he was regarding tshuva. So the Yerushalmi in Saita, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, tells an amazing story that happened about Yeshiyahu. And the Ramban brings it in the Parsha Kisava, if anybody wants to look it up, in the Pasik Chav Zayin, Perek Chav Zayin, Pasik Chav Vav. Listen to this story. Yeshiyahu's father was a Rasha. Yeshiyahu's grandfather was a Rasha. And when they were king, the Beis HaMikdash was in total disarray. And now Yeshio became king when he was still a young boy. And he was a very erlicha person. He didn't go in the ways of his father and his grandfather. And he said to his secretary, we've got to rebuild this Beis HaMikdash. We have to fix up this place. It wasn't destroyed, but it was in terrible disarray. Now they knew that there was a Kohen Gadol, Chilkiyo HaKohen, who had put away a lot of money so that one day when a Yiddish king would want to rebuild and fix up the Beis HaMikdash, the money would be there. So now Yeshayahu sends his secretary Shofan, and he goes to Chilkiyo's house, and they go into the basement, into the place where they have the money hidden, and they open up the treasure chest. And in that treasure chest, right on top, is a Sefer Torah. And when Chilkiyo the Kohen takes a look at the Sefer Torah, the first pasuk that he sees, the Yerushalmi tells us, is the pasuk in Dvorim in Kisovai, part of the Teichacha. Arur, cursed, is the one asher lo yokim es divrei haTorah azois. Anybody who doesn't uphold this Torah, he will be cursed. And when Chilkiyo saw that, he got so frightened. That's a terrible siman to open up the Sefer Torah, and here that pasuk is staring you in the face. So he runs to Yeshayahu. He runs to the king. And the king comes down to the basement, and he takes a look at the Sefer Torah, and he sees that pasuk. And he gives a scream, two words, Olai Lahakim! On me, I will take care. I will uphold this Torah. Olai Lahakim! I see this pasuk that if a person doesn't uphold the Torah, he's cursed. I am saying publicly that I will do anything in my power to uphold this Torah. And I will change people and I will change myself and I will make myself good. And look what happened. He became an extraordinary person. You know why? Because he felt a responsibility. When somebody feels a responsibility and has a determination, not only will he change, but he'll accomplish and he'll influence others to change. But you have to be committed. You have to feel an achrayus. You have to be willing to say, Olai Lahakim, and then you're able to change yourself and change others. I want to share with you a remarkable, remarkable story. This story is about a 14-year-old girl. Her name was Esther Haas. Esther Haas was a small, frail girl. And in the 1940s, she lived in Hungary with her father and her two sisters and other members of the family. She had two sisters that went with her, Gabriela and Eva. I shouldn't say went with her. They were all taken Nebach to the concentration camps. And this girl, she was in a place called Stutthof. And every day, these girls, together with other girls, they had to work terrible, terrible labor. The Germans, Yimach Shemam, made them dig trenches. Imagine girls having to dig trenches, and it was exhausting, and so many of them died. So many people died from the hard labor. And every night when they were finished, they had to walk back, and if people collapsed and weren't able to walk, the Germans would kill them. One morning, Esther woke up and she was very sick. And her two sisters said to her, don't go out to work, you'll die out in the fields. And she said, I have to go. I have to go because if I don't go, they're going to count all those that are supposed to be there on the lineup in the morning. They'll see I'm missing. They'll punish others. They may kill others. They'll make them stand out in the sun. I can't take that achrayus. So she went out and she worked. And she was falling down from work. And she was sick, throwing up Nebach, fever, almost collapsing. And finally, somehow, she made it through the end of the day. At the end of the day, all the girls had to start walking back to the barracks. And she just couldn't walk. And she took a few steps and she was falling. And then two friends of hers, they picked her up. And one was holding her under one arm, and the other was holding her under the other arm, and they were walking back. And then she fell. She couldn't even stand. She had no koiches even to stand as those two girls were holding her up. And the German soldier behind them yelled, you two girls, walk up ahead, leave her here. And she's laying on the floor, and she's looking up, and this German has this big bayonet pointing to her head. And he says to her, "Are you going to work? Are you going to walk home?" And she says, "I want to work for the Reich." That's what she said because she thought that she could save her life that way. And he said, "If you want to work, then walk." And she couldn't. It was literally impossible. And a minute later, somehow she found out she was walking. She still doesn't know till this day how she got up and walked. But she was walking. And somehow she made it to the barracks. And as she was telling me the story, I was trying to figure out, how was it humanly possible that she was able to get up and walk? And as she was talking to me, she told me something, an amazing thing. She said, "I realize today that I'm wrong about this thing that I'm going to tell you. But when I was 14 years old, I was convinced that every Jewish girl in the world was taken to a concentration camp. Because that's all we heard in Hungary. That's all we heard about the girls in Germany and the girls in Poland. We had no connection to the whole world. I was convinced that every girl was in a concentration camp. And every night," she said, "she used to daven to Hashem, 'Hashem, let me live. I'll get married. I'll raise a family. I'll build up Yiddishkeit for you. I'll do it for you. Just let me live and let me survive.'" And when she told me that, I said, "You're the one who said, 'Olai Lahakim.' You're the one who said what the Yiddish king said. You begged Hashem to let you live because you thought there would be no Yados. And you took it on your shoulders, 'Olai Lahakim.'" And I believe for that reason, she had the great zchus to remain alive. She's no longer Esther Haas. She won't allow me to say who she really is, who she married, and what her name is. But she told me that her daughter is going to be here tonight. And wherever you're sitting, you should know that Klal Yisrael is proud of your mother, because in the most difficult circumstances, she said, "Olai Lahakim." And you know what we say so many times throughout Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Aseret Yemei Tshuva? We say, "Zochreinu L'chaim. Hashem, remember us for life." And then we say, "Kozveinu b'sefer achayim. Write us in the sefer of life." Why? "Lemancha aleikim chayim. For your sake." What, I want to live for my sake? I want to do for you. I want to influence people to come to Yiddishkeit. I want to help others. "Lemancha, for the sake of you." That's what we're really saying so many times during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What we're really saying is, "Olai Lahakim." And if you believe, and you have the determination, and you feel the achrayus that you were brought into this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then for sure you'll change. Because you know what's right, and you really know what Hashem demands of us. But you have to have that feeling of achrayus of Olai Lahakim. Another thing that I believe that each and every one of us has to undertake on this new year is something that the Gemara tells us in Yuma Pei Vav Amid Aleph. V'yahavteis Hashem Elokecha, the Gemara tells us, you have to love Hashem, but the Gemara says it's more than that. Sheyehei Shem Shamayim Misahev Al Yodecha. The Eibishter has to become beloved because of you. When somebody sees you in the street, or somebody sees you in the workplace, they have to say, that's what a Jew is all about. I love the Jewish people. I love from people, because that's what Hashem really wants us to be. It's not enough that you in your own life love Hashem. You have to act in such a way that others will be proud that you're a Yid. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Mahabriyos Omri Salav. What will people say? Ashrei lo lepleni shalom haTorah. Wondrous, and it's so fortunate that he learned Torah. Fortunate are his parents who taught him. Fortunate are his Rebbeim who taught him. Let me tell you a story. A great story that happened with a fellow. Maybe some of you even know him. His name is Yidel Kleinbart. He lives in Borough Park. Lately, every place that I go, people stop me. "I have a great story to tell you." So fine, I listen to all the stories. 95 out of 100 aren't that great, but I listen anyway because you never know and I always need them. So listen, I'm at a chasana and these boys, they come over to me and they say to me, "Listen, we have a great story about our father." And he's standing right there. I see he's blushing. But I say, "Listen, let me hear the story." and he tells the following. The kids tell the following. All of you know that when a woman has a baby, the first time, labor is very, very long. But by the time the sixth or seventh kid is born, labor is very quick. So this was either by his sixth or seventh child. He's in Borough Park, and his wife tells him, listen, we got to go to Mount Sinai. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, rush hour. How in the world are you going to get from Borough Park to Mount Sinai? And labor is so quick. He gets on the Gowanus, gets on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. Traffic is not moving, but the baby is. And he's mamish chalashing. How in the world is he going to get to Mount Sinai on time? And he's in a panic because he knows the baby's going to be born in a few minutes. So he looks at the Battery Tunnel. It's before the days of Easy Pass. And the line is as long as you could imagine. So he does an illegal thing and he goes into the bus lane. And the buses are flying and the taxis are flying. And he's flying and he goes right through the toll. And he doesn't even pay the toll. Finally comes to the other side of the tunnel. The cop is waiting for him. He stops. So where are you going? He says, my wife's expecting a baby any minute. We got to get to Mount Sinai. The cop says, why didn't you call us? We would have given you an escort. Go. And he goes. And the baby's born in the hospital, Baruch Hashem. That night, he's coming back through the Battery Tunnel. And he takes out 2 coins. And the toll collector says to him, what is this? He says, well, I was here this morning. Oh, he says, what'd your wife have? He says, how do you know? He says, they told us a guy like you would surely come back and pay. Could you imagine what a Kiddush Hashem? They already knew. Here's a regular guy. And they knew that he was an Erlich HaYid. And still, because he was an Erlich HaYid, they already were talking among the toll collectors that this fellow's going to come back. That's Shem Shemayim Misahev Al Yadecha. That's a kid of Shem Shemayim. Tell you another story that a businessman told me. A businessman told me, don't think that people don't know that you're a Yid. Snood, no snood, shaitel, no shaitel, wherever you go. Beard, tie, no tie, they know. They know wherever in the world. This fellow worked for Bayer Pharmaceuticals. Bayer, the big company, the worldwide company that would get Bayer aspirin. And he works in the computer department. And he had to go, of all places, he had to go to Cologne, Germany, for a business meeting, an important meeting. So, of course, which Yid wants to go back to Germany, but he had no choice. He had to go to Germany, and he's sitting in this big, magnificent hotel. El Goyim, Goyim from all over the world. Many, many Germans there. And he's sitting there. Who's he going to talk to? Can't eat anything. The only thing he could have is a beer. Fine. He happens to like classical music. And in this fancy, big dining room, there was a strolling musician, and he was playing Brahms and Mozart and Beethoven. So he didn't know anybody, so he's watching the musician. And the musician is strolling and he's walking around. All of a sudden, he catches his eye. And when he sees this fellow, he stops and he starts playing Hava Nagila. The guy told me he thought he would drop dead right on the spot. How in the world does that guy know? I didn't say anything. I didn't talk to him. He looked at my eyes and he knew I was a Jew. You can't hide it. And if you can't hide it, that means you have the achrayus in the new year to know that you're wearing a badge. You're wearing that badge that you're a Yid. And wherever you go, you have to make sure. Shem Shemayim Misayev Al Yodecha. Rabbi Fran told me a wonderful story. He told me that Rav Velvel Brisker, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, once met with a fellow, an American fellow, and they were talking, and Rav Velvel says to this fellow, what are you? So he says, I'm a lawyer. Okay, a few minutes later, they're talking again, and Rav Velvel says to him, what are you? So he says, Rebbe, I just said I'm a lawyer. He says, that's not how a Yid answers such a question. And he takes out a Yoina, which we're going to read on Yom Kippur. And it says that the people on the boat, they said to Yoina, Hagid alanu, tell us, mamalachtecha, what is your job? What are you? You know what he answered? He said in Perik Aleph Pasik Tes, he said, Ivri Anoichi, I am a Yid, Vesalakei Hashamayim Ani Yorei. That's what I am. You're not a photographer. You're not a lawyer. You're not a speaker. You're not a teacher. You're not an advertising agent. You're a Yid. All those other things, that's how you bring in money. That doesn't make you what you are. That doesn't define your essence. What you are is a yid. That's what Yonah taught us. All the other things. So a person could be a taxi driver. He could be a brain surgeon. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't define him. The job changes 2 months later. The job changes 3 years later. So Rabbi Friend told me that he told over this story in Baltimore. And a few weeks later, a businessman called him up and he said, Rabbi Friend, I heard that great story that you told. And I want you to know that I had a paperweight made and I put it on my desk. And that paperweight on it says, so that I can see it every time that I'm sitting at my desk, it says two words, Ivri Anoichi. That's what we have to remember. We have to remember that's what Chazal tell us. Vayaged la'avram or Ivri. In Bereshis Rabba Membeis Ches, it tells us, why was Avram called an Ivri? Kol ha'olam kulei me'ever echad, for whom me'ever echad. We're not the same as the Goyim. We're not the same, and we have to be yidden with pride and understand that people look at us and they recognize us. And we have to change the way we behave. We have to be sure that we're dressed like Menschen and that we talk like Menschen. And we don't do things in the supermarket that Goyim will point and say, look how the Jews behave. We have to change because we are on a higher level. Ivri Anoichi and Olai Lahokim. Many years ago, when the Beis Yisrael, one of the Ger Rebbes in Eretz Yisrael, he was seeing people. So a bocher who was learning in Or Sameach came over to him. And he came in and he was talking and the Rebbe asked him, he said, where do you learn? So he said, I learn in Yerushalayim. Where? What? Yeshiva? Or Sameach, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So the Rebbe said to him, why not? What's wrong with being a Baal Tshuva? And you know what the Slonim Rebbe tells us? That one of the reasons that people don't change is because they think, you know why I don't change? Because that shows that I wasn't good till now. So how could I change? Because that's an admission that I was wrong. And he says, take a look, all the Gedolim, every Gadol, the Satmar Rebbe, the Blujever Rebbe, Rab Moshe, Rab Yaakov, they all say every day, they all said, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seir Asecha. Tzadikim say that they want to do tshuva. What does it mean when a tzadik says that he wants to do tshuva? You know what it means? A person is trying to get shleimus. If you change, that doesn't mean that you are bad. That just means you're trying to get better. No one is perfect. Everybody says in every single day of Shemini Esrei, we're trying to go up and up and up. We're always striving to be higher. Just because you change, just because you're going to take on a new minig, that doesn't mean that you are bad. That means that you are good, but you want to be better. And a person is always trying to reach shleimus until his dying day. So if a person changes, they shouldn't feel, oh, I was bad till now. That's not what it means. It means that a person is striving for shleimus. Aren't there people here just like myself? I know people that had a heart attack. I know a fellow, he's been trying to lose 20 pounds since I know him. I know him for 20 years. He never changed. Cake, potato chips, Pringles, with Ashgoch, of course, whatever he eats, ice cream, everything. He never changed. He had a heart attack. Low sodium, low salt, low cholesterol. He lost 20 pounds in 3 months. How did he do it? Why did he change? He could never change. If you want life, oh boy, you change. If you believe that it's life, you'll change. He knew that he wouldn't be in this world if he didn't lose those 20 pounds. He knew that he wouldn't be in that world if he kept on eating all the fried stuff and all the cholesterol stuff. We don't believe it. Baruch Hashem, we're healthy. But what happens when a person gets sick? All of a sudden he changes. Why? Because he wants life. And that's exactly what the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us in Parshas Nitzavim, Hachayim v'hamoves nosati lefanecha. I've placed in front of you life and death. Habrocha v'aklala u'bachart v'chayim. You should choose life. Kihem chayenu v'orach yameinu. You know what our problem is? Not that we can't change. Our problem is we don't believe that it's really kihem chayenu. But if you believe that was life, of course you change. Everybody wants life. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky once told me, one of the big Bali Musa in Eretz Yisrael, he told me, he was once giving a shiur of Bnei Brak, and it was very, very well publicized. There were some newspaper people there. And after, as he was leaving, he notices that one of the newspaper people is interviewing about tshuva. So he overheard the question. The question was, listen to what this person asked about tshuva, who was sitting there. And there were a lot of chassidish kids, a lot of Bnei Brak kids with payas running all around. So the newspaper writer said to the Baal Tshuva, who's going to get more reward in the next world? You, the Baal Tshuva, or these little kids here? Of course, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky thought for sure that, of course, the man is going to say the Baal Tshuva gets more schar, because we all know the Gemara. In Sanhedrin, Tzadik Tesom, and Aleph, Mokim Shabalei Tshuva, Aimdim, Shom, Tzadikim, Einem, Aimdim, Shom. We all know that the Baal Tshuva, they're on a higher madrega. But that's not what the Baal Tshuva said. The Baal Tshuva said, those kids, they're going to get more reward than me. So the newspaper man asked, why do you say that? He said, you know why? Because I know there's no life out there. I know it's meaningless. It's emptiness. I had to do it. Those kids, they still think there's a world out there. And still they keep it. But me, I saw what it was. I saw it was empty. So when he saw that it was empty, he said he had no choice. He had to become an Eilech HaYid. Because not being frum was empty, was meaningless. Was just one TV show after another, one party after the other, nothing, endless, meaningless. That's when a person changes, when he really believes that that's what life is all about. So let me tell you about a Baal Tshuva, a little boy, an Eretz Yisrael, a Sfarish boy, who wanted to go to a yeshiva, and he said to his father, he was begging his father should let him go. And the father, who came from Morocco, he came to Eretz Yisrael as a youngster and he had thrown away all kinds of Yiddishkeit that he ever had. He didn't want the boy to go to yeshiva. Finally, he let him go. He went to a place down in the Tivot, and this boy was begging his father, come one Shabbos you'll come to the yeshiva. You'll see what Torah is all about. You'll see what Yadus is all about. The father wouldn't come Meshum Eifin. Finally, it happened. Shavuos was the middle of the week, and in Eretz Yisrael, they have Shavuos only one day. And everybody had off anyway, so the father decided. Of all days, he decided to come Shavuos, to that yeshiva. He comes, and he sees something at night. He can't get over it. People from the whole town, everybody's coming to learn. And God, I happened to be in that yeshiva one year Shavuos, because my brother-in-law lived in that area in the Tivot. Shiurim for the men, shiurim for the women. It was just the most remarkable sight. And this fellow just can't get over it. He sees how happy everybody is. And then he notices that they have a rakida at the end of the night, right before they're going to bow to daven. And in that yeshiva, they have a very interesting meaning. They all say the kapitel tilim kuf yud tes, which is the longest kapitel in tilim, and has 176 psukim. And they all say it together. And this fellow who spoke Hebrew, somebody gave him a tilim. He had his yarmulke planted on his head, and he's following the words. Now, of course, if you speak Hebrew, so there's a lot of tilim that you're going to understand. And all the boys are saying it with great feeling. And listen to some of the psukim that he's saying. In Pasuk Chavtes, he says, Derech sheker hoser mimeni. My false way, help me get rid of it. And later in the Pasuk Kuf Lamed Beis, Pinei Eilai V'chaneini, turn to me and be gracious to me. And then in Kuf Mem Hei, Korasi B'chol Leiv, I call to you with my whole heart, Aneini Hashem. And finally, at the end, when everybody is just about finished, this man falls to the floor and faints. And nobody can understand, what did he faint? What happened? And everybody runs to him to try to pick him up. And they ask him, what happened? And he says, it was the last pasuk. And the last pasuk in that long kapitel that talks about Torah and Mitzvah says, Ta'isi kiseh oyved. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Bakesh avdecha. Seek out your servant. Ki mitzvaysecha lo shachachti. He realized he was a lost sheep. And you know, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Slabodka Rosh Yeshiva, tells us a tremendous pshat in this pasuk. He says, imagine if you lose a wallet, or if you lose, whatever you lose, a pen. The pen is not looking for you. Only you are looking for the pen. So it's very difficult to find. Because the pen or the wallet or whatever it is stationary. And unless you happen to come on it, you're never going to find it. But if a little shepsela gets lost, the shepsela is looking for the owner, and the owner is looking for the sheep. So there's a good chance that they're going to meet. And that's what David HaMelech is telling us. Ta'isi kiseh oived. I strayed like a lost sheep. Hashem bakish avdecha. Come and look for me because I know that you care for us. You are looking for us and I am looking for you. And that night that person realized that not only was he looking for Hashem, but he realized that Hashem was looking for him. And you know, now is the time. Now is the time. That's what Chazal tell us. Dishu Hashem behi matzoi in Yeshaya nun hei vav. Search out Hashem when he can be found. Kira'uhu b'yosei karoiv. And the Rambam tells us in Perik Beis in Tshuva Halacha Vav, when is Hashem found? It's good to do tshuva throughout the year. But the time that it's the most susceptible to be accepted is the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And so therefore, if we are now in this period of time, getting ready for the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that's the time that Hashem is looking for us, and we are looking for Hashem. And the truth is, many of the things that we've been saying, we all know it. So why don't we change? And you know, one of the reasons that we don't change is because we feel time is endless. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it in a few weeks. It's okay, don't worry. I want to tell you something that Rav Palm said, an amazing thing. The Gemara in Gittin Samach Dalet Amud Beis tells us about the levels of maturity of children and tells us what happens. You have a little child and he's playing with a little rock and a little nut, like a filbert or an almond nut. And the little child, he doesn't know the difference. So he throws away both or he eats both. He doesn't understand. So a kid like that, the Gemara says, is very, very immature. Then the Gemara says there's another level, that he understands the difference between a rock and a nut. The rock, he's going to throw away. The nut, he's going to eat. So that's already a level of higher maturity. And the Gemara says, you know what's the highest maturity of the child? If chefetz, you give him a chefetz, umachziroi la'achasho, he knows that he can't keep it. It's not his toy, and he has to return it. Chefetz umachziroi la'achasho. He got something, and he has to return it after a while. And Rav Palm said there's a very deep lesson in this Gemara. Because all of us have a chefetz. All of us have something that we're going to have to return eventually. And that's our neshama. Nobody lives forever. And if a person lives his life and understands chefetz, umachziroi la'achasho, he's going to have to return it, then you bet he'll change. Because nobody knows what tomorrow brings. And I want to say something now that I usually don't say, because this will make people feel a little bit uncomfortable, including myself. But if you don't say it in Elul, and if you don't say it in preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when then are you going to say it? And this is being addressed to those of us here tonight that are over 35 and that are over 40. It's not a pleasant thought to think about, but those that are over 35 or over 40 have probably and most likely have lived more than half their lives already. That means that you have to begin thinking, I'm not going to be here forever. I've already lived most of my life. And I'm over 40. So I'm saying the same thing that all of us should be thinking. Now, of course, we all wish each other to live till 120. But let's get serious. David HaMelech tells us, Tilim Tzadik Pasuk Yud, Yemei Shenaisenu Bahem Shivim Shana. A person lives 70 years, Ve'im Begvurais, if he's strong, if he's fortunate, he has good health, Shmonim Shana. He's going to live till 80. Let's get serious. If we're taka older, now's the time to change. You got to be careful what you do with your time. You can't just let time idle by, because time is not for hours, forever. You know, when I went to Torah Das, so there was a teacher who gave a composition for children to write. It wasn't in my class, it was in the class older than me. And there was a fellow who happens to live in Muncie. I called him up because I wanted permission to use his name. He tells me that he doesn't remember that he wrote it, but I remember that he wrote it. Because it made such a roishim on the kids in all the classes the teacher was talking about it. It's Yosef Heinemann. All the Heinemanns are very bright. We all know that. So listen to this shrewd way how he wrote this composition. The teacher wrote like this. If I had a million, and you fill it out. The teacher was trying to prove that we couldn't spend $1 million. He didn't know that there was going to come a time when a house would cost $1 million. But he was trying to show us that you couldn't even spend $1 million if you had it. And that's what the nature of the composition was. If I had $1 million, what did Yosef Heinemann write? Because after all, the keppel of the composition was, if I had $1 million. So he wrote, if I had $1 million seconds left. Do you know how many $1 million seconds left is? 11 and a half days. Imagine if you had $1 million seconds left. What would you do in those 11 and a half days? We don't know what tomorrow brings, right? We have to make the most of our time. There's a beautiful poem that's written in the Syrian Siddurim. It hangs in my shul. And every time I daven for the Amid, I cannot get over that magnificent poem. It says, Ben Oda, man of society, Lama Tidag Al Hadomim. Why are you worried about your money? V'loy Tidag Al Hayomim. And you're not worried about your days. Ki Hadomim Einom Oizrim. Money in the long run is not going to help you. V'hayomim Einom Choizrim. You lose a day, it's never going to come back. I want to tell you one of the most painful stories that I ever heard. I heard it from a dear friend of mine, Rav Meir Wickler. Dr. Wickler is a psychologist. And he told me that he had many, many years ago, a young woman was speaking to him. And she had so many problems. And as she was talking to him, all of a sudden she started crying uncontrollably. And there was nothing that he could do to stop her from crying. And finally, he said, calm down. You can stay as long as you have to stay. What's the problem? And she said, I just remembered something that happened a long time ago on Pesach at the Seder. He said, what happened? She said, I was sitting at the Seder and I took the Afikoman. And when my father wanted the Afikoman back, he asked me what I want. And I told him, a conversation. Could you imagine that's what this girl wanted from her father? Time, talk to me. Do we really spend time with our kids? We're so busy, especially in New York, and we're running. And when a person is on his deathbed, what is he going to think? Oh, yeah, I wish I would have made one more commission sale. I wish I would have made that one more business trip to Hong Kong or wherever it was. Nobody talks like that. But what they say is, oh, if only I would have spent more time with my family. Time is not forever. We have to remember one of the reasons that people don't change is because they think they'll live forever. No one lives forever. And remember, Yemei Shinoi Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana Ve'im Begvurei Shemoinim Shana. Take advantage of time. If you're blessed with children and you're blessed with a family, before you know it, they're going to be out of the house. I know those parents that have kids that are running around underfoot, 10 and 11-year-old kids, you can't wait to get out of the house. That's what you think today. Wait till they get married. Then you'll walk by their room and say, oy vey, where are they? I would do anything they should come back. Time is not endless. There's another reason that a person should change. And this is written by the Lev Eliyahu Rav Elya Lapyan. Rav Elya Lapyan writes, of course, we all know the famous pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, Shir Hashirim Vov Gimel. So let's for once say what the real pshat in the pasuk is. We all know it stands for Elul. But let's say the real pshat, then we'll come to the drush. What the real pshat in that pasuk, Ani L'doidi, means that Yidden are saying to the Goyim, don't get involved with us, don't try to help us. Ani L'doidi, we're the only ones that belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'doidi Li, and Hashem belongs to us. We're separate than you. We are God's people, not you. That's what the real pasuk means. Ani L'doidi. We are the people of our beloved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know how Rav Elya Lapyan teaches? Ani L'doidi. If you feel close and you recognize all the good that Hashem gives you, Ani L'doidi. If I recognize my friend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Doidi Li, Hashem's going to recognize me. We all complain bitterly. We all have problems. No one in this room doesn't have problems. But there's a lot of good that we have. And we don't think about it. We take it for granted. Many of us have beautiful homes and wonderful kids. and good families and talent and a lot of things that other people don't have. Even the mere fact that we live in this area. I can tell you, I have the schus to travel around the United States and around the world. People would chalish to be able to live in Muncie. It's a wonderful neighborhood with batei knesiyos and batei midrashos and yidden. You walk the streets. I remember a fellow. He was married to a Jewish girl, and she decided she's going to become frum, and he became a ger. And he didn't know what neighborhood to live in, so he took out a Jewish press, and he said, I'm going to look in those neighborhoods where they're selling homes. And the Eibishter gehalf when he came to Muncie. He came to Muncie, he didn't even look at any homes. He saw the streets, and he says, this is where I belong. And Itaka lives in Muncie. He moved to Muncie. Or he just walked the streets, that's all. He didn't even care what the house looked like. There's a lot that you have to be grateful for. And if you're grateful to Hashem, then you're going to change. Let me tell you one of the greatest Hakoras HaToyv stories I ever heard. This story, I had this chus, I was in Amsterdam, I heard it in Amsterdam twice, and I heard it in England. Listen to this remarkable story. This story happened many years ago in 1908. The Queen of the Netherlands, the Queen of Holland, was a woman named Queen Wilhelmina. And Queen Wilhelmina had no children. She had brothers, half-brothers, and they had died. And she knew that after she dies, the Malucha will end. There will be no royalty anymore in her family. And she was very, very depressed about it. And one year she went on a vacation in a place called Marienbad. That was where many, many Yidden went. And she didn't announce that she was going. But when she came to the train station, there was a tremendous crowd and a tremendous tumult. And she knew that it couldn't be for her because she hadn't told anybody she was going. So when she got off the train, she said to one of her mishursim, what is going on here? And they said, there's a great sage that's here. There's a great rabbi, a rebbe. She said, what is that? They said, well, it's a great man who gives advice, who gives blessings, who gives encouragement. So she began thinking, who knows? Maybe I should speak to this rebbe, this sage. Maybe I could get a blessing. It happened to be it was the Munkacher Rebbe. So she sent some of her attendants to go to the Munkacher Rebbe and ask if he would see her. And he gave back an answer that he wouldn't see her in private. He would only meet with her in a public place. And he took two bochrim together with him, and they met Queen Wilhelmina in a park. Somebody from Amsterdam who's making a film about this story, part of a shul video that he's making, went back just to that park just to film it. And they went into that park. And there she cried and she told the Rebbe her problem. And the Rebbe said that the boy should tell her, he didn't speak her language, he said to tell her that she's going to have a child. She's going to have a child and the Malucha will continue. And she was elated. And a year later, a little girl, Juliana, was born. And eventually, she became the Queen Juliana. I believe she's still alive today. She's not the queen anymore, but I believe she's still alive. Queen Juliana. And that was the end of that story. At the end of the Second World War, there was a Rav in Germany. He had run away from Germany. His name was Rabbi Yankov Tzvi Katz. And he wanted to come to Holland, because there was nothing to go back to Germany anymore. And he wrote to the immigration bureau in Holland that he was applying for citizenship. He wanted to be able to come as an immigrant. And they wrote him back a letter and they said, listen, we have so many people that want to come to Holland from all over. We are only taking those people that have a job that's unique and special. What do you do? If it's special, we'll allow you in. If it's not, we don't allow you in. And he wrote back that he's a rabbina, he's a rov. And they wrote that they have many rabbonim already in Holland, and he's rejected. So he wrote a letter to Queen Wilhelmina. She was still living at that time. And he wrote her, I am sure that you remember your history. In 1908, when you came to Marienbad, and the great sage gave you the blessing, I was the boy that spoke German. I was the boy who translated the Rebbe's blessing to you, and that's how Juliana was born. And I ask you in the merit of that favor that I did, that you should return the favor to me and overturn the rule of the immigration bureau and allow me to come to Holland. And when they gave her the letter, she turned over the whole country. She turned over all the rules And Rabbi Yankov Tzvi Katz came to Holland. And he was a Rav there for more than 20 years. And he wrote Chashuv HaSvarim, Lekat HaKemach HaChodesh. He has a son today, Rav Moshe, who lives in Stamford Hill in England. Why was he allowed in? Why did she change? Because she had Hakaras HaTov. If a guy can change because of Hakaras HaTov, what should we say? The Gemara teaches us in Kiddushin, Kibud Av V'Em, from a guy, and the Gemara makes a Kal V'Chomer, if a guy could do it, shouldn't we do it? And if a queen can recognize that a young boy did such a favor for her, shouldn't we recognize all the good that we have? So how are we going to change? So I'll tell you four ways that we can begin to change. The first way is that every family has to have a Rav, a Rebbe, or a Rosh Yeshiva that they ask their shilas. Your kids have to know that you ask shilas in Hashkofa and in Hadracha. Before you send your children to a specific yeshiva or Beis Yaakov, you should ask a shayla. Rav Moshe always used to complain, nobody asked me chinuch kashas. Nobody asked me tztaka shaylas, where I should give tztaka. Every family has to have a rav, a rebbe, or a rosh yeshiva. And not a yes rav. People who are wealthy suffer from this terribly. Because everybody wants their money, so every rav tells them they're good and they're wonderful. Just give me the money and I'll put up the plaque. Rich people can't get Musar because everybody is afraid to tell them anything. I don't want to say, Rachmana Litzlan, I'm being rich. But the idea is, you need a Rav that's not afraid of you. You need a Rav that's going to tell you don't go to Acapulco for vacation. You don't go to Las Vegas on vacation. Not go and you'll win and you'll give us the money. That's not a Rav. You need a Rav that's not afraid of you. And your family has to have direction. And I'll tell you another thing. You know, it says, we all know, Aseh Lecha Rav. You have to make for yourself a Rebbe. It doesn't have to be the same Rebbe for Torah as it is for Simcha. There are certain people that you can learn from in your neighborhood. There are certain people that are wonderful people, Balei Chesed. Make them your Rebbe in Chesed. They don't have to be your Rebbe in Ashkofa, but they're your Rebbe in Chesed. There's a man in my neighborhood, and I'm not going to say his name because eventually this tape is going to get back to Kew Gardens and everybody will kid him about it. But anybody in my neighborhood will know who I'm talking about. There is no one in my neighborhood who is makabel people b'seva upon him yafis more than this fellow. People love to say good Shabbos day because he has such a way of making you feel so special. Sometimes he comes over to me, he says it to me 20 times, but each time it feels so wonderful. He says, good Shabbos, you're a giant among men. Isn't that wonderful? I don't even know if he means it. He sounds like he means it, and it's great to hear. So I always tell him good Shabbos. And somehow, I love to watch, he's my Rebbe in B'Seva Ponim Yafis. Last night I was speaking to somebody else, he told me, you know, I have a Rebbe of a guy who's B'Simcha. This guy is the happiest guy I know. And every time we're at a wedding, I always dance in the middle with this guy, even if he's not related. I just want his simcha to rub off on me. There's certain people that have a wonderful nature. Aseh Lecha Rav. Make for yourself a Rebbe. There are all types of midas in this world. And there are people that excel in them. Find out what makes them tick. What makes that person so special? Aseh Lecha Rav. You don't even have to tell him that he's your Rebbe. Aseh Lecha Rav. Make yourself a Rebbe. Make yourself. Make him your Rebbe for yourself, even if they don't know it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, make small Kabbalas. Don't say, I'm going to change. I'll never talk Lashon Hara. You're going to stop. It's impossible. What you could say is, from 12 to 2, I won't talk Lashon Hara. That you could do. And maybe you could even say that you'll start learning from this Chavetz Chaim wonderful Sefer, a halacha a day. Sefer Shmiras HaLoshen, just one page a day. Make, so many times women say, when do we ever have a chance to learn? Make up your mind, not that you're going to start listening to all Rabbi Franz tapes and Rabbi Reisman tapes and maybe Rabbi Krohn tapes and all kinds of other tapes, but one tape a week, one learning tape a week I'll listen to. When you're in the kitchen, you know what you can dial today? Put it on a speakerphone. Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, they have a Chazak program. If you're ever down and out, call the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. They don't know who you are. You don't even have to tell them. You have a PIN number. They'll give it to you. And you can listen to Chizuk 24 hours a day. It's such a wonderful thing that Klal Yisrael has. And Rabbi Eliyahu Teitelbaum, what he did, Mamash, he has a straight ticket to Elam Haba. Forget all, not only the dial a daf, the dial halacha, dial a shir, dial a story, whatever you want to dial. Dial your mother-in-law, whatever you want. You can dial anything. Put it on the speakerphone. And you can listen to a shir while you're washing the dishes. Don't do it every day, but Monday is my day that I'm going to listen to a shir. A small Kabbalah. And that's what the Rav Segal says, emor ma'at, and then you're going to be asei harbe. Say you're going to do a little bit. Make a little Kabbalah. There are a lot of women here that would love to say Tillim every day, but they don't because they figured, how am I going to finish Tillim a whole once a month? It's impossible. I can't. Who says you have to? Say two kapitlach. Make a small commitment. A small Kabbalah. I'm going to say two. I don't care what anybody else does. Me, I'm going to do two. And if you do two, eventually, you'll see. You'll do two every day, and then maybe you'll do three. And if you don't do three, so what? But at least you do two. We always think that we have to have a total change. That's not how it works. You make a small Kabbalah. Here's a small Kabbalah. Don't say, oh, from now on, I'm not going to be on the phone for long conversations. You know it's not going to work. It's not even going to work tomorrow. So 10 minutes, that's the limit. 10 minutes, that's a small Kabbalah, I think. Make a small Kabbalah. Those are the things that you'll be able to live with. Here's another Kabbalah. I can tell you from practical experience, this is such a beautiful thing if you could only do it. Try it 1 week, you'll see. Prepare the Shabbos table Friday morning. When your kids come down Friday morning, after they've slept the whole Thursday night, the Shabbos table should be ready. With, okay, I don't know if you want the challah there because maybe it'll be stale, but the leichter should be there, and the becha should be there, and the challah tray should be there. I tell you, the house will be different. Because all of a sudden, it's Erev Shabbos. It's not like Meshugoyim that run in 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Somehow the men can't get it straight. Don't they realize that Shabbos comes after Friday every single week since Sheshes and Mebereshes? And no matter when it is, we're rushing like Meshugoyim. And there are many women who rush like Meshugoyim also. They come to bench licht, not the way a woman should be dressed, L'Kovet Shabbos. But if you just make that small Kabbalah Friday morning, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put out the Shabbos tablecloth. I'll put out the bechers, I'll put out the leichter. You'll see the attitude will change. Small kabbalas. And you know what Rav Palm also says? Rav Palm says, mitzvah gereres mitzvah. You do one mitzvah, you get such kedusha v'tahara, the Eibishter makes it that your mind and body is able to accept another mitzvah. That's his pshat, the mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Here's a third way. Write down your accomplishments. If you decide you're going to say Tillim every day, every day. Keep a little notebook and write down, today I said Tillim. Today I did this. Today I did this. Whatever Kabbalah you make, you know what you need more than I know. Whatever Kabbalah you make, write it down. And that chart will be so special for you. We've spoken about that before as far as doing a chesed a day. I can tell you, I know a person. He doesn't like to talk about it. But I happened to find out one way I found out about it. This fellow, for whatever reason, was not makbid in Minyan, going to Minyan. For whatever reason. He had a very, very difficult business schedule, and he had to be out of the house early, whatever. One time, he met a fellow who came from Eretz Yisrael, who was collecting money, a very, very Elach HaYid. And in the middle of this fellow's running around from people to people, he stopped whatever he was doing to daven with a minyan. And this fellow, it made such a roishim on him, that here's a guy, he's mamish giving up opportunities. He's only here for a short time to raise money for a moysid. And he stops everything. He doesn't care whatever to mamish to daven in a minyan. So he mamish made aseh l'charav. He made this fellow his minyan rebbe. And he started writing down every day that he davens with a minyan. This man has been keeping a chart for 17 years. And in 17 years, the way I believe he's missed the most, 2 days or maybe 3 days that he didn't daven at least once without a minyan. You know what that is? 3 days in 17 years. That's only because he wrote it down. And because once he writes it down, it's not only that he feels a tremendous accomplishment for the past, but it's an inspiration for the future. How in the world am I going to stop? No matter where I am in the world. A person has to know, I'm not going to go to a place where there's no minyan. Well, I'll find a vacation place someplace else. Felt nice places where to go where you can find a minyan once a day. So I won't go to those other places. But once a person you write down and it stares you in the face, It's an inspiration to continue, and it's a reminder of your wonderful accomplishments. And here's the final thing. Do it with a friend. Do it with a chavrusa. Rav Segal used to make all his kabbalas with his chavrusa. Get a friend and say, you know what? Let's make up. From 10 to 11 in the morning, both of us won't talk Lashon Hara. And let's call at the end of the day or at the end of the week and see if we kept it up. And if people do it b'chabura, then that's how it'll be. And you know, I'll tell you a remarkable thing. Just this morning, I had a bris in Rabbi Radinsky's yeshiva in the beautiful, beautiful Beis Medrash. One of the most beautiful buildings I ever saw in my life. So it was very interesting. I went to wash my hands before the bris, and I saw a chart, a beautiful chart. Everybody knows the Siyum HaShas is coming up. So they have a chart. Sign up here if you want to prepare a daf, and you'll be able to give a shir. And I am positive that once there were 10 names, there must have been about 30 names on the chart already. But I'm sure that once a guy saw 10 names, he figured, you know what? If they could do it, I'll do it also. I'll also prepare a blot. Doesn't say I have to prepare whole shas. But if these guys can prepare one blot to give a shir, I'll be also. How did it happen? What a beautiful idea. Whoever thought about it in the yeshiva to put up that sign. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't know if any of you saw, the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation had a terrific video on Tisha B'Av. And it was mamish, it was really special. I watched it, it was really terrific. And what happened was, Chaim Snow, he's the one who filmed it. He deserves a great Yasher Koyach. But, yeah, it's true. He does a lot of work for Klal Yisrael, he deserves it. So let me tell you, obviously you know that I'm kidding with you, you know that I was on the video together with Rabbi Friend, and what happened was that a lady called me up afterwards. And she said, you know, you spoke about doing chesed. And for the longest time, I wanted to do something. But once in Far Rockaway, there was a whole group of people. I went over to my friend and I said, you know, now we're going to do it. This video is the impetus. So two wonderful women in Far Rockaway, they put together, you would not believe, a Chesed Network News. And they have, this is the first edition that just came out. Do you need this? Do you need that? It's all free. People, they got all people from all the shuls that have extra things. Lost and found. Whatever it is, people, anybody that needs things, are people that are looking for, I'll just pick out certain things. Looking for sponsors for this monthly newsletter. No, I didn't mean to read that one. Okay. Looking for a double stroller with springs. Looking for location, looking for a gown for a mother of a bride, navy gown. Looking for costumes, all shapes, for a new gemach. Looking for a ride from Far Rockaway to Brooklyn. That's a wonderful thing. All the people get it in all the shuls. People are looking for these things. People are looking to help other people. What a beautiful idea. And do you need a bridal headpiece? Anybody needs a bridal headpiece? Or do you need a silk floral arrangement? These people have it. A wonderful idea. How did it happen? This lady, Mrs. Lieber, told me she couldn't have done it alone. She thought about it for years. But once she had a friend that saw the video and two people got together, they did a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this CNN, Chesed Network News. So, that's really what CNN stands for, right? Isn't that great? What a turning though. But the idea is that when people do things b'chavrusa, then you get things accomplished. So let's review that which we said, and we'll end with a great story and a great thought. Let's remember that hey is the letter of tshuva. And that's the reason that Avram got it, and that's the reason that Sarah got it, and that's the reason that the hey begins, the brach of Hashiveinu, and it ends, Horeitzer B'tshuva, at the beginning, at the end of hey, why? Because hey is the letter of tshuva. Let's remember what Yeshio HaMelech said. Olai Lahokim. Yeshio HaMelech changed. He became a Baal Tshuva. What does it mean? Of course he was good. His father was terrible and his grandfather was terrible. But he felt a determination. He felt an achrayis. Olai Lahokim. And let's remember that great story of that young lady, Esther Haas, who also felt Olai Lahokim, and through that I believe she was Zeicha to life. Let's remember that's what we say, Zochreinu L'chaim, V'chosveinu B'sefer HaChaim L'man Cholekim Chaim. If you tell Hashem you want to do things because you're doing it for Him, then we'll taka be Zeicha to life. Let's remember that what we have to do is Shem Shemayim Misayev Al Yodecha. People know that you're a Yid. They can tell no matter where you are in the world. If that's the case, let's act like Yidel Kleinbart, who made that tremendous Kiddush Hashem in the Battery Tunnel. Let's remember that fellow in Cologne, Germany, how they played Hava Nagila because they know you're a Yid no matter where you are. And let's remember what Rav Velvel Briska taught us about Yoina. Ivri Anoichi, that's what you are, not a lawyer, not a doctor. Let's remember what the Ger Rebbe said. What do you mean you're not a Baal Tshuva? Why not? Nothing to be ashamed of. We all have to become Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva doesn't mean that which you did till now is bad. Baal Tshuva means that you're reaching for Shleimus. Machzireinu b'tshuva Shleimu lefanecha. After all, don't we ask Hashem for refuah Shleima? So then we should maybe do Tshuva Shleima. We're asking for refuah Shleima in the same Shemin Esra. Let's remember that's what Yisroel Rebbe told us. Every person has to strive until his dying day to get higher and higher. Let's remember the heart attack victim. He changed. Why did he change? Because he wanted life. That fellow in Bnei Brak, the Baal Tshuva. Why did he change? Because he also saw that Yiddish life, frum life, is meaningful. Otherwise, it's emptiness. And if we understand, Kiheim Chayenu V'Orach Yameinu, we really believe that that's what life is about, then for sure we'll change. Let's remember, Ta'isi Kese Oyved. Dovid HaMelech said that he was like that lost Shepsela. The Shepsela, the sheep, Hashem, the owner looks for the sheep, and the sheep looks for the owner. Ba'kei Shavdecha, we're asking Hashem, look for us, because we're looking for you, and Hashem is looking for us, and Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that's the time to do Tshuva. Let's remember what Rav Palm told us, that Chayfetz u'machzira la'ach ha'shoah. We have to remember we have an neshama, and we're going to have to give it back after a while. Nobody lives forever. Let's remember that painful thought. Those of us over 35 and 40, we've lived more than half our lives. We have to know that this is the time to accomplish. Let's spend our time wisely. Let's spend it with family, with children. Give them conversation. Give them time. That's what they need. Let's remember, Domim Einom Oizrim, Yomim Einom Choizrim. Money in the long run don't help, and days don't return. Let's remember what Rav Elia Lapian taught us. Hakoras HaToiv is a reason for change. Just like Queen Wilhelmina changed those laws of immigration to let Rav Katz in because he did her a great favor. Hashem has blessed us with so much good. Let's look at the good and stop complaining only about the bad and know that we owe everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's remember, have a Rav, a Rebbe, or a Rosh Hashiva for guidance. Asei Lecha Rav, pick out people that have extraordinary midos and make them your Rav. Let's make small Kabbalahs. And Shmiras HaLashon, don't say you're never going to talk Lashon Hara. It's not going to happen. But if you take on an hour or two, you learn a halacha a day, you say you're going to say two kapitla chatila, make a small Kabbalah, then you're going to be able to be Mekayim it. And more ma'at, and then you'll be zeichat ta'asei harbei. Chart your progress, write down your accomplishments, it'll stare you in the face, and it'll be an impetus to continue. And last but not least, do it with others. Find a friend who feels like you do, who wants to make a new Kabbalah, who wants to change, and then you'll be able to give chizuk to each other. I just want to end with this great story and this great thought. There was, many, many years ago, a man by the name of Rabbi Yankov Yosef HaKoyen Katz. He lived in the time of the Baal Shem Tov. And at the time of the Baal Shem Tov, he was not a chassid, this fellow. He didn't believe in chassidus. But he had heard about the Baal Shem Tov, and every once in a while, he happened to see him. And it turned out one day he came to the Baal Shem Tov's house, and they were talking in Yonim of Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, everything that you hear, everything that you see, everything is a lesson from Shemayim. And a few minutes later, as they were talking, there was a knock on the door. And there's a Goyish fellow that was there, a laborer, he was looking for work. And he said to the Baal Shem Tov, is there anything that I can do for you here today in the house? So the Baal Shem Tov said to him, no, everything is fine, come back another time. This laborer wanted to have some money. So he said to the Baal Shem Tov, he says, if you look hard enough, you'll find that there's something that needs fixing. So the Baal Shem Tov turned to Rabbi Yankov Yosef and he said to him, did you hear what he said? Did you hear that great message that Hashem just gave us? If you look hard enough, you'll find there's something that needs fixing. So this Rabbi Yankov Yosef Katz said to him, what are you talking about? You mean to tell me that the Eibishter gave us a message through this Goyish laborer? I can't accept that. If Hashem wanted to give us such a lesson, he would give it through a tzaddik. I can't accept it. So the Baal Shem Tov says, yes, you can. You just don't want to. Shortly after that, Rabbi Yankov Yosef HaKoyen walked out of the house. He walked out of the house, and he was walking, and there was a guy. He had a big wagon, and all of a sudden the horse slipped, and the hay fell off the wagon. And the guy can't lift the hay himself. So he turns, he sees a yid standing there. So he says to him, hey, could you help me pick up the hay? I got to put it back on the wagon. So Rabbi Yankov says to him, he says, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, it's very heavy. I just can't do it. He says, yes, you can. You just don't want to. When he heard that the second time, he got so frightened and he ran back in to the Baal Shem Tov. And eventually he became the Toldos. The Toldos is the one who wrote most of the Baal Shem Tov Seder that we have today, became from this Rabbi Yankov Yosef HaKoyen Katz, who became a very big chassid at the Baal Shem Tov. Maybe that's the message that we have been hearing all these years. And maybe that's why we haven't changed. Because we always heard that message, yes, you can, but you just don't want to. But maybe tonight we should begin thinking that maybe we really do want to. And it's time to forget about that message. That message that we always felt, yes, you can, but you just don't want to. We've got to change that message. Yes, you can, and you're going to do it. And I'll tell you why you're going to do it. Because there's a machlokes that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael. The Eibishter says to Klal Yisrael in Malachi Gimel Pasuk Zayin, Shuvu Eli, return to me. Hashem is begging us, return to me, Vashuvu Aleichem, and I'll return to you. And you know what Klal Yisrael says to Hashem? We say it in the last Pasuk of Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha Vinashuvah. You bring us back, you take the first step, and then we'll turn back to you. Hashem says, no, Shuvu Eli, you come back to me, you take the first step. And if you look tonight in the last Pasuk of Eicha, you'll see something remarkable. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha Vinashuvah. The last letter in the word Vinashuvah is missing. Do you know what the last letter in Vinashuva should really be? The letter Hey. And that's missing. You know why? I think I know why. Because Hey represents Tshuva. And if we have to wait for Hashem to take the first step, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha Vinashuva, then it's missing the Hey. That's not the real Tshuva. Hey, as we said before, has that little door open so that you can walk in and do Tshuva. What Hashem wants is that we should take the first step. And let's remember that a pasuk in Amos tells us, Aryeh Shog, a lion roars, Milo Yira, wouldn't I be afraid? Wouldn't a person be afraid if he walked in the street and he heard a lion roar? And Chassidus Sforim say, Aryeh stands for Aleph Reish Yud Hey, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah. These days are roaring to us now. Aryeh Shog, Milo Yira. Shouldn't we be afraid of this Pasuk and Amos Gimel Pasuk Ches, the lion that's roaring? And the answer is, we can roar right back. Because Bilam once said about Klal Yisrael, in Bamidbar Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet, Hein Om Kelavi Yakum. This is a nation like a young lion. Uka'ari Yisnasa, they get up like a roaring lion. It's true, these days are roaring to us. But from tonight on, we have to make a commitment to change. And we will roar right back to that Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashanah Rabbah, and say we are ready for the challenge, and we are ready for change. And we're ready to understand that second thing that the Torah tells us in Kuf Tev Svav. He says, what's the reason why there are 15 words in the bracha of tshuva, Hashiveinu, until the end of tshuva, till the end that ends with a hey? It's 15 words. For the 15 words in the Pasuk of Yeshaya, Nun Hei Zayin. Yazoiv Rosha Darkoi, V'ish Oven Machshavoisov, V'yoshav El Hashem. Let the Rosha forsake his ways, and the evil person, let him forget about those evil thoughts, and let him return to Hashem. V'rachmeyu, then the Eibishter will show him mercy. V'el Elokeinu, let's return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Yarbe L'Sloyach, because the Eibishter really has a lot of forgiveness in his heart. And he wants us to do tshuva. So let us from tonight, let us begin making changes in small ways, but in small definite ways, so that all of us that need it will have a refuah shleima. We should do tshuva shleima and be zeicha to a geula shleima. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.